starting a new series at the same time called Hearing God. You can look at your notes. We're going to be in a lot of different scriptures over the next several weeks. The top three questions that I'm asked as a minister generally are in this order. How can I know the will of God? That's the first one. That's always the first one, the most common, in other words. The second is, how do I know it's God's voice and not my own? I mean, how do I know that it's God talking to me and not just my mind playing tricks on me? And the third one is, how can I know for sure that I'm Christ? And so this is kind of touching on two of those three issues. And I hope it will be something that when we get to the end, if you just kind of go, wow, you know, I had the ability, I just didn't realize how to really get in touch and to know that was going to happen. And I'll just say from the outset that I'm very grateful to my friend Peter Lord, who's got a lot of great thoughts on this and has written a lot about it. And I've talked a lot with him and heard him speak a number of times and taken a lot of notes. And I relied on him heavily in putting this series together. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, printed there in your notes, that God is to be trusted. In other words, God wants us to trust Him. It's like He sticks His hand out across the crevasse and says, hey, grab hold of my hand. Do you trust me? God is to be trusted, the God who calls you to have fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we see here that God wants to have fellowship with us. Now, the thing that really separates Christianity from nearly every other theology is this. That in nearly every other religion, in nearly every other theology, the gods acted upon people. I mean, they did stuff to you. If you ever read Greek mythology, I took all those classes in high school and all of them in college over at West Texas, and the gods were always doing stuff to people. Because the people had pride, or the people were weak, or the people were duplicitous in what they did. And so the gods would act upon them. They would do stuff to them. The thing about Christianity is not that God acts upon us. He certainly can. But the thing about faith in Christ, really more than anything else, is that God interacts with us. And He's a part of what we're doing. God didn't just spin the globe and set it in the heavens and walk away for a minute. That He's very interactive with us. In other words, He really wants to have a relationship with you. And He genuinely desires to have a relationship with me. Which brings us to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. One of the great scriptures in the New Testament. John, who spent years with Christ, and then who spent years after that following Christ and being a leader in the church and different times was exiled and different things for his faith in Christ, says this. He says, guys, what we are telling you is what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you can not only have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so a part of that seeing and hearing is that you would have fellowship with Christ. When we get to the end of this time, I hope we don't walk away and say, well, now I know how to hear God and you don't. That's not the point. The point is that it would enhance the fellowship we have with one another because it draws us closer to God. It draws us as a community of faith, as individuals, closer to Christ. And so you need to understand that hearing God is absolutely vital. And if you talk to most people, if you talk to most believers and say, okay, what is it like when you hear God? How does God speak to you? What does that look like? What does that sound like? Most of us probably have an experience that looks something like this. Go ahead.
Okay, God, you want me to talk to you? Tell me what's going on. What should I do? Give me a signal. I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. Oh, what's this joker doing now? Okay. All right. I'll try it your way. All right. Lord.
I need a miracle.
I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please, reach into my life.
What the?
Where are you?
I got you!
Feel that way? Smite me, oh mighty smiter. If you've seen the movie, you know that you know it's an attempt to talk about our dealings with God and His dealings with us. And it's kind of like the guy that was trapped on his house in the flood, and he's praying that God would send him deliverance, that God would save him. And a guy in a boat came by and said, "Here, let me help you." He said, "No, God's going to take care of me." And so the guy in the boat went on by, and presently the waters were creeping up. He's standing up on his roof now, and another boat comes by and says, "Here, jump in. Let us take you to safety." He says, "No, God is going to save me. I promise." And that the guy tried to talk him out of it, and he'd hear nothing. The boat went on off. Pretty soon he's standing on the very peak of his roof just fighting. The waves are lapping at his feet, and the helicopter comes by, and the guy shouts down, "Grab the rope, we'll take you to safety." He said, "No, God is going to save me." And of course, he drowns. And he gets to heaven, he looks at God and said, "Why didn't you save me?" And God said, "Dude, I sent two boats and a helicopter, what else do you want?" And a lot of times we feel like in our dealings with God, that's what's going on in our life, that we're either unaware and unobservant, or that we just don't understand God's language. God's not speaking in terms that we can understand. So it's vital that we as believers and we as a church, as a community of faith, hear God for several reasons. The first reason is this, is that it brands us as Jesus' sheep. Over in John 8, Jesus said this, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. Jesus looked at some people and said, "In all honesty, the reason you don't get it is because you don't know how to hear my voice. You don't hear my voice because you don't belong to me." Over in John 10, a more familiar scripture, maybe Jesus said, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Part of what we as believers need to be about is hearing the voice of God, recognizing the call of God, and following Him in that. So it brands us as Jesus' sheep. The second thing that it does is it enables us to follow. Kind of one thing comes right after another. We hear, we follow. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "The sheep recognize my voice, and I know them," and they do what? They follow me. It's vital that we hear the voice of God, because that's how we follow. That's what we do to follow Christ. And then you may kind of raise an eyebrow to this one, but it's true. It helps us to be better lovers. You go, what? Yeah, wives are kind of poking their husbands and husbands are looking at their wives. No, it's talking about the way that we love on one another. In 1 John 4, the Lord says this, "And we love because God loved us first. But if we say we love God and don't love each other, we're liars. We can't see God, so how can we love God if we don't love the people we can see? The commandment," here's God speaking, "the commandment God has given to us is this, love God and love each other." There are several things that are critical to being a good hearer that are critical to hearing God. The first of those is communion. They're both C words. The first of those is communion, and I would define that as getting along with God, communing with God. And the second thing is community. And community would be basically getting along with one another. Communion and community then are vitally linked for this reason. To think that we can love God and not love other people, there's a fundamental problem with that. There's something wrong with that. But secondly, not only is it vital that we understand that, but to think that we can love people properly without understanding the love of God, without having a communication from God about love, is also fundamentally wrong. Now, I want you to think in terms of love here for a minute. What the Scripture literally is saying here is that we should love God and we should love each other. Now, the importance of this is to understand the kind of love that God is talking about. And the word used in the New Testament, the word used in Scripture, is a Greek word. There's three Greek words we're going to talk about here in a minute. But it's called agape love. Now, the first word that the Greeks had for love was a very common type of love. It was physical love, or love that you were able to express with your body. It was the term was eros or eros, and it's a very tangible, showable, expressible, physical kind of love. The second type of love, phileo, Philadelphia, comes from this word, is the love of friendship or the love of soul. It's kind of a kinsmanship. It's a deeper kind of attachment than just a physical attraction and a physical expression. And then the third type of word is agape, which is God love. And it has to do with seeking somebody's best, of seeking to give and to give and to give so that somebody can become. That's really the focus of agape. The difference is that when God tells us to love one another, He's telling us you need to have an agape type of love. And if we don't hear that, if we don't get that, then what we're going to basically express is a lesser form of love, or even in some cases, lust. Now, what's the difference between love and lust? And I think that's something that our culture needs to understand. The difference simply is this, that lust is something that you do that you seek to use someone else or some other means and their resources to meet your needs. And what often happens with that translates into a form of selfishness, because the focus then becomes on me. Love, on the other hand, is seeking to use your life and its resources to meet the needs of someone else. Now think about that. If that's God type of love, how do we best see that expressed? Well, according to the Scriptures and according to history, the way we best see the love of God expressed in that sense is that God sent His Son to die on a cross in our place so that we wouldn't have to die for our sin. And in doing so, He gave of Himself and His resources to meet this tremendous need to pave the penalty of sin that we have. And so God has shown that. So we go back to this Scripture in 1 John 4, and it says, the commandment God has given us is to love each other, but the only reason we can do that is because God first loved us. And if we hear that, if we understand the love of God, if we hear the love of God being communicated to us, then it allows us to in turn share that kind of love with somebody else, thus fulfilling communion and community. And those two things are vital. But without being filled with God and His love, basically we are certain to become very selfish. And when we become selfish, that's going to be the source of a lot of the sin and the separation and a lot of the problems that we have in our lives and in our relationships. And so hearing God is vital for that reason. Another reason is that hearing God is vital is really that's the only way that we can obey God. Now think through this with me. Most of the things that you need to find out during your day, there is not a specific scripture that tells you, you know, you need to go to McDonald's instead of Burger King, because thus saith the Lord, broiling beats frying. Or frying beats broiling. Yeah, that's the other way, isn't it? That you don't know, should I use Crest with fluoride or should I use Colgate? I mean, should I use Charmin or should I use something else? Should I take a shower or not take a shower? Where should I vacation? Whom should I marry? None of those things have a specific scriptural reference. And so it's important that we be in communion with God, and as we are in the Scriptures, as we are seeking the face of God and intent on following Him, that we're hearing the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us, we're seeing the Scripture in front of us, and we're making the connection between the two to understand that God still speaks. I tell you what, Luke, Kyle, what's your name? Will you back up a Scripture for me? To that last slide where it had the Luke 8 Scripture. That's why I said Luke, just so you know, okay? He answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and do it." Jesus is speaking here. It's vital to hear God because that's where you get the wisdom for life. In James chapter 1, James said, listen, if you want wisdom to live this life, ask God. Well, check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if you can't ask God and hear, there's no point in receiving that commandment, is there? And so, guys, and I want you to understand, I've never heard a voice. I've never seen handwriting on the wall. But I've learned in 30 plus years of following Christ to recognize His voice. And most often for me, that comes in the Scriptures. Very often that comes in prayer. Sometimes that comes in circumstances. Other times it comes from people within the church. But it nearly always falls in one of those four areas. Hearing God is vital because that's how we understand the Scripture. In John 16, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth." Now here's the deal. One of the great teachings of the Bible is this, that God, when you become a believer, that He baptizes you, to use that terminology, or He indwells you, He fills you, He places within your being His Spirit. His Spirit becomes the entity that begins to communicate to you from within. A lot of people try to make it a lot more mystical and weird and wild than it is, but the bottom line is that God puts His Spirit inside of believers. He indwells believers. He does not indwell unbelievers. And that Spirit within us begins to speak to us and call to us. Our job is to learn to recognize His voice. And it's not just some cosmological mind game. It's a very practical matter of being in a position to hear and learning to recognize what we hear. But part of what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate the Scripture to us. Now, that's an important word. Understand in the New Testament, when Jesus was speaking, He was revealing. That was a time of revelation. He was revealing things about Himself. He was revealing things about the Father. He was revealing things that were to come. But when Jesus left and the apostles wrote down the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was still revealing. But as the canon of the New Testament closed, as the New Testament came to a conclusion, the time of revealing in the sense of God giving new truth ended. There's not a place where a man stands up and says, "I have new truth from God." Guys, that's where you get cults. What the Holy Spirit does do in our world is to illuminate what Jesus has already revealed. Jesus, in fact, said when He comes, He won't speak on His own initiative. He will speak what He's heard and He will bring me glory. He will illuminate me and my truth, in other words. And so the Holy Spirit in us helps us to understand the Bible by illuminating, by shining the light on the truth of God as God wants us to understand it. Listen, if you have no Holy Spirit in your Bible study, all you have is opinions. And it's really sad to go to a Bible study and find people just opinioning. What does this mean to you, Mike? What does this mean to you, Brad? What does this mean to you, Lloyd? What does this mean to you, Mary? Bible study is more than just opinions. The Holy Spirit a lot of times will say, listen, there are different applications, but the truth of this Scripture is whatever. And He brings us to a place of consensus because that Scripture was written with a specific intention many times. A.W. Tozer says this, The Bible will never be a living book to us until we are convinced that God is articulate in His universe. A new world will arise out of the religious mist when we approach our Bible with the idea that it is not only a book which has once spoken, but a book that is now speaking. We need to understand that it's not something that was written over the course of thousands of years and completed a couple of thousand years ago, and so it's archaic and dusty and antiquated. It's alive today. And God is still articulate in His universe. Which brings the question, well then, can we really expect to hear the voice of God? And it's the resounding cry of those who are in the community of faith who have come before us. It is the statement of the Bible that yes, God still speaks. And yes, you as a believer can and should still hear Him speak. That's what Jesus said in John 14, 21. He says, listen, if you have my commandments and keep them, you love me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I want you to circle a word here. And we will come, and I will love him and will disclose. That's the word I want you to underline. The term disclosed in the Greek is emphanizo. It's the word that we get our word emphasize. In other words, when we have the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, Christ will continue to disclose and show us and you know, let us learn more things about Him and new things about Him, and it will make plain or emphasize those things in our life. And so it's vitally important that in our day and age that we learn to hear God. And two things that we're going to close with today that are necessary to make that happen. One is an understanding ear, and the second is an undiluted heart. Let's talk about an understanding ear real quickly. Understand that in 15 different scriptures in the New Testament alone, Jesus makes some statement along the line of, he who has an ear, let him hear. Or in the King James, he who hath an ear, let him hear. God obviously wants us to connect our ears and understand what we're saying. Now think about babies for just a minute. We have a 10-week-old yellow Labrador retriever at our house. And one of the things that you know, if you've ever tried to train a dog, is that when you get that dog around the 6th or 7th week, which is pretty common, that dog can hear you talking to it. You remember the old Gary Larson Far Side cartoon where the guy's saying, bad dog, good dog, all it shows, and it says what we say, and it shows all these communications that we have with this dog, and it says what they hear, and on the other side it just says blah, 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 blah. Well, that's pretty much the way it is. It's the same way with people too, with baby humans. A baby can generally hear noise, but they have to learn to understand. One of the things that we know about Labrador Retrievers is that at about day 70, about 10 weeks, and we experience that along about Tuesday or Wednesday, your dog will learn his or her name if you've been using it. Our lab is named Riley. And it's Riley this, Riley this. She probably thinks her name is Riley No, because she's heard that a lot. But along about Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, I said Riley, and she stopped and looked at me, and I kind of laughed and said, what day is this? And you know what? It was day 71. Right about day 70, she learned her name. She was able to understand what she heard. What we need to do as people, as believers, is learn to understand what we're hearing from God already. I guarantee you that God is speaking. We know that that happens. What we need to do is learn to understand that. So he who has an ear, let him hear. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to understand. And understanding is generally always learned. Six things about understanding ears. First of all, operate as if your life absolutely depended on your ability to hear God. Now, you ever wonder why one of the greatest times of spiritual growth is during crisis? Have you ever thought about that? You know, oh, smite me, oh mighty smiter, and you have this God encounter. Because you're out there, you're in a situation that you can't handle. You're in a situation that you don't have the resources or the knowledge or the ability to deal with. And so you're crying out to God, God, help me. God, do this. God, do that. And all of a sudden, you're in a place where you can't do it on your own. And you really have to tune up your senses to look and to see and to hear maybe what God is doing. Well, great crises are some of those times when God speaks to us most clearly. In Luke 10:41, we find this story. Mary and Martha have a party in their house. Martha is going all about the business of getting everything ready. Mary, her sister, is doing nothing. She's hanging out in the room where the guys are talking. And Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Make her get up off her tail and get in here and help me fix this meal." And Jesus looks at her and says, "Martha, you're bothered by so many things. You know, there are only a few things necessary. And really, only one. And Mary has chosen the good part." Now the question is, what did Mary choose? What was Mary doing? If you look a few verses up in verse 39, we find what Mary was doing. The scripture says that Mary was listening to the Lord's word. Jesus told Martha, "What you're doing is great. This is most important." So live as if your life depended on it. Secondly, listen with the faith that God really is articulate. Now, not the faith that, "God, you're just going to say something. God, you're going to do something. God, I got to have a miracle," blah, blah, blah. But listen with the faith, with the belief, with the understanding that God really is articulate in His universe. It says in Hebrews 11 that you can't please God without faith. That he who comes to God must have faith that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. That God is going to be articulate not only in His universe, but in our lives if we'll listen. Number three, choose to set your mind on God and to regularly set about to bring every area of your life, this is a mouthful, into that arena. Basically what I'm talking about is this. Make a conscious choice to be about trying to hear God. Don't just make God a part of the background noise of your life. You turn on the radio, you turn on the car stereo, you got all this other stuff, conversation droning on behind you, and you make God a part of that, you're probably not going to be very good at hearing God. You have to make a conscious choice to go to God and converse with God and to be in a place where you can hear God. And the best way to do that is to set aside a part of your day, a time to be quiet. Or as we call it, a quiet time. That among other things, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever your threshold is, time for you to have some inner relation with God and to be able to hear Him. And then begin to include every part of your life. Begin to bring into that environment all the aspects of your life. The scripture says, it's printed there in your notes, in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, bring every thought captive. Thoughts about your family, thoughts about your job, thoughts about your anxieties, thoughts about your health, thoughts about your ambitions and your aspirations, thoughts about your church, thoughts about the Bible. Bring all of that and begin to let God help you sort that out and listen for Him to speak in all of that. God wants to be intimately attached to every part of our life. Number four, spend a lot of time with His loudest voice. And I believe the loudest voice of God in our world is the Bible. That's where we are most able to hear Him clearly. Remember what Jesus said, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Number five, accept no substitutes. There are a lot of things that we use as substitutes. I've listed four pretty prevalent ones here on the screen. Good books, a great resource, but if we're not careful, they become a substitute for God. Religious services, church services. I'm not saying don't go. I'm saying don't let this be a substitute for a personal relationship with Christ and being able to hear Him. Religious programs. Tune them in on the internet, tune them in on the radio, get a CD, get a tape, get a whatever. Counselors. It's okay to have people counseling you and helping you through that. The point is, don't let any of these things become a substitute for God. And here's why. When we do that, when we rely on a substitute, what we allow is we kind of go third person. We basically allow somebody else to interpret God for us. And you know, I've told you many times, Listen, don't take what I say at face value. You get in the scriptures and you seek the face of God yourself. I am not threatened by that whatsoever. But when we allow a substitute in our lives, we can do that and make absolutely no commitment whatsoever. We can say, thanks for the information, that's great. But when you have a God encounter, it forces a decision either to obey or to reject what God has said. God never just gives us information. He always gives us information and a choice. A choice to be encouraged, a choice to obey Him, or a choice to reject Him. And so don't accept a substitute. God has wired your minds with something that helps you filter that out. It's something that helps us to focus on the things that we want and we need to hear. For instance, parents, you know all about this. There is a certain cry. Do you remember the cry? Your baby, your child could cry and whine and howl and do all kinds of things. But there is a certain cry, isn't there? When they're hurt or they're scared or they're in a panic, there is a totally different tone to it. And you can be with a group of friends at a dinner party and have all this loud kid noise going on, but all of a sudden you hear that noise and your mind picks up on it and you're all about going to take care of that situation. Now as you get older, as your kids get older, it turns into, don't make me come up there. But you recognize the tone, don't you? You focus on the things you really need to hear, and you filter out the things you don't want to hear. I grew up a half a mile from the Santa Fe Railroad tracks up by Amarillo. And I used to lay awake at night, and every once in a while I'd hear the train passing. But you know, for the most part, I didn't hear the trains. People would come to stay at my house, and they would get up the next morning, and they would have bloodshot eyes, and they were didn't get any sleep last night. Why? I heard trains all night long. We filtered that out. We had been around it. People that live near airports deal with the same thing. And that also helps you have a wiring that helps you to find a personal relevance to things that you focused on to be able to relate those things. Physically, there is in your brain something called the reticular activating system, the RAS, that helps you to do all three of those things. The point is to set your focus, to set your mind on hearing what God says. If you decide that hearing God, that hearing and understanding the Word of God is important, and you set your antenna to that, then your RAS helps you to tune in when God is speaking, and you bring that in to what you're doing. And it's a matter of habit, and it's a matter of learning to hear that. The sixth thing is this: respond as quickly as you can. Respond as best as you can. Respond intentionally. Respond on purpose, in other words. And when God has said something, when you are aware of something, and this works in marriage too, works in jobs. I walked into the Coca-Cola room back over here right before the service started. The band was back there where they were waiting for me to get there so we could pray before the service started. And I walked in and Chandra says, "Hey, your hair actually looks good today." Now, I don't know if my hair looks good or not, but I appreciated her saying something. And somebody else said, "Hey, I like that shirt." Now, I don't know if this shirt's any good or not. I just know it was cheap when I bought it yesterday. And that's fine. But you know what? I appreciated them responding to that. And boy, I set up, I'm listening now. I'm listening to everything that's said. When you begin to respond when God says and does something in your life, it kind of puts you in a place where you're more tuned into it. So learn to respond. You see a beautiful sunrise or one of these incredible Lubbock sunsets that we have, it's okay to say out loud, "God, that's incredible. Thank you." We had one of those the other night. We were, as fact, I think it was Friday night. Linnell and I were driving home from meeting. Mackenzie was staying over at somebody's house. And did you see the moon? We came up Slide Road and we were, you know, had the golf course on the left and the lake's full of water because of the recent rains. And the moon was sitting up there about 9 or 10 o'clock in the sky. It was full and it was bright and it was absolutely off the water. It was incredible. And we just, in the truck as we drove by, made a response to it. We did it intentionally. We did it positively. We were ignoring all the other things, that the world things that were coming in. We were kind of trying to respond to God. Respond more and more and more frequently, and you'll find yourself hearing God better. And respond practically. For instance, if God says, "Listen, you really need to go call that person and encourage them," Micah and I were standing in the back during worship, and all of a sudden God puts in my head somebody that I need to go see in this congregation that I haven't seen. I'm like, I got to go see them. I forgot all about that. And right in the middle of worship, had that response time. When God gives that to you to do, do it quickly. The last thing, and we'll close here, is God says you need to have an undiluted heart or a pure heart. The idea of purity reeks of lack of contamination, and that's one meaning, but the fuller meaning is not only lack of contamination, but a singularity of purpose. And two ways you achieve that. Scripture says to cleanse your heart. That means to get rid of impurity at its root. And then the Scripture uses a strange term, circumcise your heart. That means to cut out even the good things that are getting in the way of the best things. The bottom line is this, that God can be heard, that God intends to be heard by His people. And the basis for that is that we have a relationship with Him. This morning, if you've never entered into that relationship with Christ, we want to give you the opportunity. And there are going to be a lot of questions that hopefully we're going to answer in the coming couple of weeks to help you know and to hear the voice of God, to know how to respond to that, so that your walk with Christ is taken to a new level. That's our goal as a part of this series for the next month or so. So be here every week and be a part of that. But this morning, maybe you've never had an opportunity to receive Christ. And so let's just focus on Him for just a minute. And I want you to ask yourself, am I one of His sheep? Can I hear His voice? Or as Jesus said in John chapter 8, listen, you can't hear my voice because you're not one of mine. God didn't bring you here this morning for no reason. God brought you here to deal with you and let you deal with Him and to find a relationship with Christ if you would allow that to happen. I know that He's knocking on the door. I know that He wants to come in and have a relationship with us, but it's up to us to open the door. And if you would like to receive Christ this morning, then let's pray together. We're going to give you that opportunity where you sit, where you are, and let you do business with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We are grateful that You're not silent. Lord, we thank You that You don't act upon us, that You interact with us. Lord, that You long and desire a relationship with us. And Lord, part of the relationship is communication. Part of communing and part of community is communication. And so, Lord, we long to hear from You. Help us to become better at that over these next several weeks. Lord, to really kind of set our attention on that. But Lord, if You would, there may be one or more this morning who have never trusted You as Savior. Lord, and just let them know that that prompting they sense and feel in Your heart, their heart right now, is Your Spirit knocking on the door, is Your Spirit prompting them and really saying to them, listen, come to Christ. You can believe what He said about the state of man, that we're sinful, that we're separated. You can believe that He died on the cross to pay the penalty for that and that He rose from the grave so that you can have eternal life. Father, if they would long to do that, I pray that You would move in their hearts right now and they would do business with You. And if you would like to do business with Christ, the prayer is very simple, but it goes something like this. Father, I know that I've sinned and I'm separated from You because of it. Lord, I'm not playing games. I know it's true. So Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I want to be new. I want to have my sin taken away. I want to have a relationship with You. And Lord, I want eternal life. Lord, I believe that I can have that in Jesus Christ. I know and I trust that what He did on the cross was for me. And that He rose from the grave so that I could have eternal life. And so Lord, I don't trust myself. I trust Him. I'm not going to try to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it Your way. And so Lord, make me new and take away my sin. Give me this eternal life. And Lord, help me to know You as Father and to follow You and let You lead in my life because I've heard You. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.